Good evening. My name is Chris Thompson. I'm one of the elders here at Redeemer, and I just want to welcome you and let you know that we are so glad to have you join us this evening. What a blessing it is to be able to gather in the worship of our great God, to hear his word faithfully preached, and to celebrate together the ways in which God is working, both in our individual lives as well as through our church. One of the ministries that God has blessed in our church is that of our VBS, which took place this last week, and I'm going to turn the stage over to Andrea Gronendijk, who's going to share a little bit more about that.
At this time, can we call all of the children forward that were able to participate in VBS this past week? While the children are coming up, we just wanted to take a brief moment to kind of fill you in on what happened in the building over this past week. There was definitely no lack of enthusiasm and energy as we had over 100 children in this building every single day, eager to continue learning about the armor of God. This year's VBS theme, Keepers of the Kingdom, sought to teach these children how to stand strong in a faithless world. Beginning day one, the kids learned hard truths about how to train their brain and learn to discern God's kingdom of light versus the enemy's kingdom of darkness. Christian the puppet even made appearances each day with his own little set of armor to help bring these lessons to life. From Bible memory and classroom teaching time to catapults and pool noodle javelin throwing and even some sugary snacks, these children were kept very busy. By the end of the week, the children were sent home not only humming tunes, but more importantly, with the head knowledge of God's word and the pieces of armor of God to make the faith their own. Even though we've been planning this event for a whole year, we could not have been successful without the many, many hands that volunteered their time. During the week, there were roughly 50 crew members assisting each day, not to mention the many, many hands that worked behind the scenes, cutting, painting, building, and setting up and tearing down, to name a few. It truly takes a village to raise this next generation, and we could not be more appreciative of your support and your love and your prayers. We do ask you as a congregation to continue praying with us for the many families that attended from our community, which was over half of our roster. We pray that seeds were planted in these little hearts and minds. And speak of little minds, this year's mission project was to collect money for diapers for the Pregnancy Resource Center. Once again, the children blew our initial goal out of the water and raised a total of $1,150, which means they donated over 5,000 diapers. It truly was a blessing to be a part of the week, and on behalf of Laurel and myself, we thank you for allowing us to provide this ministry opportunity, and we're already brewing ideas for next year's African Safari. We have a quick slideshow to show you of pictures from the week, and then the children would like to share their theme song with you.
To God. they're not the same. There's only one king who will never change. There's a kingdom of lies, fear and shame, and a kingdom of truth where Jesus reigns.
Wow, that was very heartwarming and encouraging. And it's wonderful to see how God is working through that ministry and just the amount of volunteers that that came out and supported that. That's such a blessing. My one announcement tonight is for the men's barbecue tomorrow evening. It's at 6:30, and I was told to let you know that it will happen rain or shine. So if the weather looks bad, still come. All right. So now let's take a moment in preparation for worship to quiet our hearts during the music and to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us as we worship. Please stand for our call to worship. Our call to worship tonight comes from 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 through 4. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies."
Jesus is a rock in a weary land.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, it is indeed, especially in the times of storm, that we need your sheltering presence in our lives. A firm foundation when everything around us seems to be shifting and we don't know where to stand. But oftentimes, it isn't until the storm is upon us that we turn to you. Lord, help us to see that you are our ever-present help in time of need, that you are there guarding us even in the times that we don't feel those stresses of life. Please help us to depend on you alone for that security and that shelter. It is in the times that we leave your security and seek shelter in other options that we are left to ourselves. But God, you are faithful in protecting us. Lord, whatever our circumstances in life, we confess that we need you every hour. You alone are our defense and our righteousness, God. We trust in you. Amen.
I'm
Tonight we have the privilege of praying for and lifting up words of hope in our missions prayer. I'm sorry, be seated. I want to go through a little of their history. First off, explaining who they are, what they do, what they provide, and where they do this work. They're located in Grand Rapids, as I'm sure many of you know. Their history, their first broadcast was July 22nd, 1945, and the title message was Consider Christ Jesus. It was originally called Temple Time, and the ministry's purpose statement was to preach through broadcasting Jesus Christ as the only Savior. In 1974, they changed their name from Temple Time to Words of Hope. Their mission statement is to provide people both near and far with daily access to God's Word. They do this through daily devotionals and sending out the truths of God's Word worldwide through all forms of media. They do this through radio, church partnering, and indigenous and international media studies, ministries, apologize. Words of Hope provides Christian content to existing indigenous radio stations that enables those stations to increase their listening audience, and it then provides Words of Hope the ability to carry out the message to a larger percentage of people. Their church partnering, the purpose is the growth of the church through training and equipping leaders. And they also partner with like-minded, faith-based organizations to pool their resources for shared causes where ministry fields overlap with other ministries. They provide devotionals through printed materials and emails, sermons, Bible lessons, and Bible courses. In doing the research for this evening, I was amazed at there was a list of 10 different countries, although they are worldwide. They had 10 listed on there, and in those 10 countries, there were 66 different languages, which I found very, very interesting. Looking at their prayer requests as well, there was from Albania to Iran. What was common in all of their requests was persecution, whether it was from Islam or Hindu or the government, it was ever present. So they have, obviously you can imagine that in Africa there's the struggles with electricity and the communication barriers. And if you're interested in supporting this group or to do some more research, that information can be found on their website, WOH.com. Let us now come together in a moment of prayer, bringing our praises and requests before our Almighty Lord for this important ministry as they seek to spread the gospel. Gracious Lord, and Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening to praise you for the work you have done through Words of Hope for the past 79 years. We thank you for the thousands of messages that have gone out and for the hearts, minds, and souls that they have touched. We bring before you both general and specific requests that they have made known to us. We pray for the Iranian believers who have attended a secret conference which has just concluded. We ask for those participants' safety and that you would richly bless them and the lives that they touch with the gospel message. We pray and think of the believers in South Sudan as they face the constant violence that has torn apart their country. We ask for peace and stability in an area of such chaos and confusion. We ask that you come into that place powerfully and boldly. We pray for Words of Hope's first ever global gathering of approximately 20 different field leaders that will take place in September. Bless the leaders and give them all that they will need to make this journey, and bless their time together for the furthering of your kingdom. We also pray for a woman named Newman, who leads a women's training center in Lohar Gada, India, as she deals with breast cancer. If it be your will, Father, please provide the healing that she needs to continue the work you have given her. In all of these areas around the world that Words of Hope reaches, Lord, the common note amongst all of them is the persecution these believers face every day. These threats are against the body, but also against the soul. We ask, Lord, that you would both protect them physically and spiritually. These attacks may come in many forms, and we ask that you guide them and protect them in all that they do and say. We ask also that you continue to bless the work of Words of Hope in their efforts of continued outreach to those who have not heard the good news of the gospel. Keep them focused in their planning and guide them in the paths that you would have them go. Amen. If you are able, please stand to sing softly and tenderly.
give thanks to God. Father, we give thanks that you indeed call us. We thank you that you have called us to this place tonight to worship you. And we thank you for the call and for the for all the kids who came this week to VBS and got to hear about Jesus and his love for them. We just thank you for all the work that went into that, and we thank you for your hand of blessing upon this past week. And Father, we thank you indeed for your mercies to us. David writes in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Lord, we just thank you for your love for us, and that you could forgive us, a sinful people, and that you would remove our transgressions from us. All thanks to the finished work of Christ on the cross. Father, your goodness and mercy to us are overwhelming, and we pray that you would help us to live each day in light of what you have blessed us with. And this evening, we pray that you would be with Pastor Micah. We pray that you would fill him with the power of your Spirit, that he would proclaim your word boldly, and that he would remember all that you have laid on his heart to share with us this evening. And we pray that you would be with our hearts and minds, that we would be receptive to your word, and that hearts and lives would be changed, having heard from you this evening. And Father, we thank you for the many material gifts that you have given us as well. And we pray that you would bless these tithes and offerings, that they would be used to further your kingdom here at Redeemer, throughout our community, and to the ends of the earth. And we ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Good evening. So if you're new here, I am Pastor Micah. I am our guest pastor here this evening. And our text this evening will come from Psalm 19. You can find it in your pew Bibles on page 456, or it'll be behind me on the screen. As we prepare to come to God's word this evening, let us seek him in a prayer asking for illumination. Lord God, Psalm 86 cries to you, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love to me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of darkness." Give us illumination as we seek your word this evening, Lord. Amen. Psalm 19. To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord to us this evening. Thanks be to God. So in college, I had one of those professors who could find something wrong in everything. He was one of those professors, too, who always graded all his papers with a red pen, and a pretty expensive one based on the ink and the calligraphy. He was fair, but in some ways, as the joke amongst us was, impossible to please. And so as a joke for our final exam, we all bought a jumbo box of red pens and turned in every one of our exams with a red pen, just so that he wouldn't run out of ink grading them. I remember one of the assignments, though, I still have it, that I turned into him, which he graded and gave back to me. On that assignment, see, in college I would work, I kind of shot for that 93%. And I always told myself it's because that way I didn't have to do 7% of the work. But I remember this assignment because on this assignment, he wrote these words, "Micah, you could be an A student, and you should be an A student." Those words, that comment, is the only comment that has stuck with me nearly 10 years. I remember that comment, not even what the assignment was, because it showed something to me that I didn't realize. I remember that comment because this professor showed that he not only cared about the quality of my work, but the quality of me as a student. That's what he was encouraging. That's what he was seeing. He saw potential in me, that laziness, but also a fear of failing or giving it my all sincerely, or of disappointing myself or others kept me from. The best of teachers push their students in every way to glory and greatness, that they could be all that they should be. Our text this morning begins with an example, not of students though, not of students falling short, but of creation getting it right. Verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims God's handiwork," his handiwork. If you are here this morning and you listen to Pastor Jeff's sermon on Peter, you might have an ironic smile at the contrast. The heavens declare and the sky proclaims where Peter denied. I say Peter, but I could also say my own name. You could probably say yours. Looking at the beginning of this text, we might have something to say. We might have a confession. We might wonder if we might have something to learn from inanimate objects concerning proclaiming and declaring God's glory. In fact, I'm kind of envious of the heavens and the sky. The first six verses of this psalm spends time just expanding just how well this declaration and proclamation is done. Look at the verses which follow. "Day to day pours out speech. Night reveals knowledge." Here's what I want you to see in these first six verses. The heavens and sky declare God's glory and handiwork. They do so in abundance of speech and knowledge, day and night, not in 200-character tweets. Their commission is to the whole world, and they do it. The text says their voice goes throughout all the earth. The sun and the sky do this declaration and proclamation consistently, with strength, like a strong man, with joy, like a bridegroom, in a perfect circuit without missing a thing. This proclamation and declaration done to glory and to witnessing his handiwork, there is nothing hidden from its heat, the comparison is made. The idea is here is a communication and display God's glory, but also his goodness, his handiwork, and his deeds. And so I'm curious this evening, I would ask you this question: how do you compare to the heavens and to the sky and to creation? How much declaration of his glory and proclamation of his handiwork is part of your life? And before you apply that question in a broad and missional and evangelistic application, might I ask it in the most narrow sense? How much and how passionate and how consistently, how fully into every hidden area do you declare God's glory and his handiwork to your very self? The Psalms will say, Psalm 139, which was referenced in our confession this morning, will say, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I ask this question because this is one of the easiest, perhaps, areas, or the smallest and least bold place to proclaim it, to replicate, to remind, to see, to proclaim and declare his glory and handiwork, your very self. To your soul, truly and wonderful, you are made. Stepping back from verses 1 through 6 as a cluster and their general declaration to the glory and workmanship of God to all the world, those of you who know your Bible well might see in this psalm the spark or a connection to Paul's letter in the Romans, to the Romans. To Romans chapter 1, where he speaks of the Gentiles, that the whole earth is without excuse, knowing God and his glory and workmanship because of the testimony of creation. Romans 1 will say, for his invisible truth, his invisible attributes, namely, his external power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him. It's possible that Paul had this very psalm in mind when he wrote those words beginning to Romans, that creation's declaration and proclamation and its greatness done in its abundancy, its consistency, its joyfulness, in its completion of the task. It's possible he continued to have this psalm in mind as he transitions in Romans and speaks of the law. The law revealed to the Israelites, revealing God to the Israelites. So as we look at this psalm, I want you to see something building. The glory and the handiwork of God in its fullness and in its completion is growing, growing in creation, and it finds its pinnacle here in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The Hebrew word for law, Torah, carries with it this meaning of instructions, directions, and law. If I were you, I would encourage you to seek to understand this psalm, maybe with three interpretations like that, carrying these three. The law of the Lord is perfect, the instructions of the Lord is perfect, the directions of the Lord is perfect. The reason I say that is because I want you to see something. This text carries with it a tone. And I think those three differentiations carry the different tones that is communicated all at once in this statement. The perfection of the Lord is not necessarily alone in this psalm. The psalm before it will even say, this God, his way is perfect. Now, whichever way of those three, and I encourage you to consider each of them, as a culture, we have different attachments to authority and to instructions and directions. I encourage you to carry all of them, but I want you to see something. In the face of this perfection, whether it's the law with its ultimate authority, the instruction with its guidance, or the direction with its informing, the response to this perfect law is not a critique or not disappointment or not judgment. The second half of verse 7 is revival. reviving the soul, reviving your soul. One of the conversations I had last week with someone who goes to the morning service is how I've been encouraged by this church, because I find its preaching and its culture seeking to hold grace and the challenge or truth of God's word and gospel. And that's what we want, the truth and the tone of God, like a coach that tells you when you're tired or when you didn't do so well. I'm here, I'm for you, you can't disappoint me, but we're going to do better next race. Or like the professor who cares so much about you that not only does he want you to know the material, but he cares as how you're shaped as a student. What you become, that you be all that you can be. There's a perfectionism that crushes. But that is worldly. What we see in this text is a perfection in God and in his word and in his law and in his direction and instruction that inspires and aspires for you towards glory, towards a greater display of his handiwork. For he takes what is imperfect and forms it and makes it perfect. And that shaping starts with his word, his law, his instruction. If you're new here this evening, if you are visiting because of Vacation Bible School, I hope you find a church that teaches and encourages you and believes his perfect word and law and direction and instruction, because it's not worth going to a church that doesn't give you a message, a law, a word of God that doesn't revive your soul. This is what we see happen in this text. I want to take a moment now and reflect on this week and on VBS. Hopefully you sent your children here, and hopefully they learned to be keepers of the kingdom. I'm told that in the text, the memory verses they were given, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, Paul will write about a very real struggle for righteousness, for godliness, for the kingdom of God, a struggle against evil, which seeks to pull down, to tear. There's principalities. There's a warfare. And to that war for righteousness, there was a call to put on the full armor of God, but also to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's my hope you sent your children this week to this church to equip them, to prepare them. Armor is for war, and anything good and glorifying is costly and will be intentional. No one is righteous by accident. There's a war for what is good and perfect. It's a trial. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is what you want your kids to be equipped with, to take a stand and fight with. My question this evening for you, you adults who sent your kids to go and become warriors and fighters for goodness, to learn the blade to fight, my question for you is, will you take that sword for yourself? Hebrews tells us, let us strive, therefore, to enter the rest, that rest, so that no one may fail by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from its sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You invested in having your children become keepers of the kingdom, learning to fight the spiritual warfare out there. My question to you is, what if tonight the word of God, that sharp two-edged sword, is not a sword against your enemy, but a scalpel to be applied to your very heart and life? That sharp blade which makes an enemy fear, does it make you recoil? Some healing demands the scalpel that cuts. Cuts out the cancer, cuts out the infected, cuts out the false. If this psalm were balanced in its framework, it would be half about the creation and creation's glorification and revelation of God's handiwork. And it would be half about humanity's glorification and handiwork. And in a way it is, but in a way it's not. We fall short. There's a teaching tone to a student that has much to learn, instruction given in comparison to humanity, which needs it. The scalpel and the word of God is not turned outwards towards evil. No, it's turned inward first. Six times its cutting blade tests and discerns your heart and your life to surgically heal and repair and correct. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. Its precepts are right, rejoicing your heart. Commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening your eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, making you endure forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. These last two seem to be statements of perfection and glory so great, so as to speak beyond what is attainable in any sense, but to the longings of the human heart, an enduring life forever and a righteousness in its completion. It's as though the perfection, glory, and handiwork of God is so great that it's outpaced us and their distant desires. In fact, the psalmist will say, more to be desired than fine gold or honey, more to be desired than anything are they. Can I ask you, what really determines your credibility, your integrity? Your wisdom, honesty, and valor or glory? Are you a B student? Are you lying to yourself saying a B is good enough? I'm here to tell you, you can and should be better, and that's what this text is doing. It's why it's an instruction to revive your soul. Sorry, my pages got flipped around. But perfection is ominous and forbearing. You know, there's a sitcom, and one of its funny scenes is as a way of getting even with one character. A young man, a character, is introduced to his very hero. And when he does that, he freezes. Later, the show shows the young man, and he's lamenting this experience. He says, "I never wanted to meet my hero. I only wanted a picture. You can't disappoint a picture." The psalmist ends this passage encouraging you to not fear taking that which will discern or even reveal your errors. The psalmist actually grounds the ending of this psalm in verse 14. And I want you to see the absolute absence, the absolute chasing away of any thought of despair which should be present as you look at the perfection, the sureness, the rightness, the purity, the beauty of God's law. The psalmist will say, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." I'm not a fantastic theologian, but as I read the entirety of this psalm and I look from its start to its middle to its end, I see the declaration of God's glory and his handiwork starting out at the beginning. This frustration in the middle as God's law is perfect and our soul needs reviving. It's so far dead, it needs reviving. So distant. Yet this psalm ends with the psalmist joining in, almost with the creation, which is doing its job and duty, joins in participation. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." There's a beauty. There's six Lords which precede that Lord, almost as if a recounting of creation. Seven, right? And yet it grounds its last Lord in this rock, this Redeemer. When we look at the perfection which is put before it through verses 7-9, it makes me think of Christ, our rock and our Redeemer, who came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law, to put it in your heart and my heart. In many ways, this is what I think Paul writes about in Corinthians when he says, "Now we see dimly as though through a mirror. Then we will see clearly." What we will see clearly? We will see Christ clearly in this. 7-9. But we'll become closer like that. And that's exactly what Paul says in that passage in Corinthians. A growing towards that. This morning, Jeff said to the congregation, "Once you know Jesus, don't go back. Don't go back. Once you know the law of the Lord, these blessings which come, once you know Christ who has attained them and now works in you to make them come about, don't go back. Join in." Will you join me in prayer? Lord, in the catechism, we are taught that our end and our purpose is to glorify God, to glorify you, and to enjoy you forever. And Lord, we see in this psalm this evening the very teaching that is there, that we might learn to glorify you and to love and enjoy your perfection and become more and more like it, participate in it. Lord, that the greatest glory and handiwork that testifies and declares you might be the renewing of our lives, and that in the born-again life we have from your sacrifice, our words, our hearts' very meditations might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen.
That is a beautiful song to end our day of worship with. Whatever it is the Lord gives you in this coming week, know that He is with you by His Spirit, and He gives you this blessing as you leave, that you would rest in His power. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Go in peace. Amen.